الحمد لله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am joined with the amazing, amazing Jenny. I don't know how you pronounce your last name, Mol.
Molendijk Dievlili. It's a little tricky. Yeah, Molendijk is my last name. Dievlili is my husband's. But yeah.
Okay. Oh, really? Because I thought Molendijk sounded like Turkish.
Yeah, I know. It's Dutch. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the Turkish part. Okay, I'm glad I did not try and pronounce that because you said it much better than what I would have said it. But to Islam, you converted, was it 15 years ago now?
Yeah, this will be the 15th year.
She has an amazing blog. The blog will be in the description down below. Check it out. Her content's really good. If you speak Turkish, so does she.
Not well, but there's English there as well too. So.
Yeah, there's English there as well, but her Turkish is really good. She's very humble about it, but I'm very impressed by it. Mashallah.
It's because you don't speak Turkish, though. Otherwise, yeah. Like, I think if you spoke Turkish, you wouldn't be so impressed.
So today I want to discuss why somebody would become Muslim. I want to discuss why so many people are becoming Muslim. I think it's interesting because you come from a Christian background.
Yeah.
I come from an atheist background. So we can sort of compare. I want to know, what was the biggest reason you became Muslim?
It was like all of a sudden it became undeniably true. Because I really, I had no intention of becoming Muslim, and I didn't start to look into Islam to change faiths. So the thing is that as my knowledge began to grow, like it just became undeniable to me. And all of a sudden I realized that my belief system had holes, right? Yeah. Like, and so for me, it only made sense, I think is really what happened for me, especially because I grew up in a faith system, right? So. Yeah. This just made way more sense to me, I guess.
I think for me, obviously, I had no religion, but I always kind of found myself as a kid talking to God. And I think a lot of people do when they're kids. And I never realized it until later on. And I went from someone who didn't believe in a God to someone that believed in a God. So it was like a huge jump. And it was very hard for my sort of family to understand that. And I think the biggest thing that sort of made me realize was just looking back on my life and thinking about everything I see and, you know, starting to believe that everything I see has a creator and it's not just happened out of nowhere, it's not just random. Knowing that religions, they have kind of like a moral compass, that once you follow you just become a better person. We all have sort of natural moral compasses, but a lot of the ones we follow as we're kids are societal as well. Society influences them a lot. And do you feel like your morals change once you become Muslim, or do you think they kind of stayed the same?
I know for me, like, one of the things that was really significant for me was that, I guess, or one of the draws to Islam, right, is the idea that, for example, if the Quran is the word of God, right, and that it's been unchanged, which it has been, right, and so, and God always promises that he will protect his word.
Yeah.
So then for me, it was like, okay, well, to me, this is the true word, and if I look at the directions for my life, which are, like, to me, like, so much of that moral compass or how we should be living our life was written there in the Quran. Mm. So what was a major pull for me, actually, was that I felt that, like, it was undeniable. And then if that's the case, then I had to live it as I'm instructed to do so, right? And so for me, like, one of the major pulls was the idea of, like, okay, well, here it is. It's laid out clear for me, so, like, follow it. And the fact that there's, in my experience, for example, if I think about the type of Christian I was, even though there's so many similarities, like, I wasn't living the way that I think Christians are really called to live.
Yeah.
And I think that this idea, this sense of accountability, this kind of proof that, like, because it's right there in the Quran, like, that was a huge pull for me. In terms of, like, this is what you're called to do. It's right here. Like, so, like, there's, like, be accountable, you know?
Yeah.
And that was really significant for me, I guess.
I think some of our morals do change. I think me coming from a non-religious background, obviously covering up is a big thing for
us. Sure, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, modesty is a huge thing for us. And I guess maybe you have that in Christianity too, but it's not so prominent in the culture, maybe?
Yeah, and I mean, like, certainly, like, I think, so if we, I mean, Christianity, obviously, there's certainly different conservative or more conservative, more conservative practicing groups within Christianity, I think. Mm-hmm. And so, for example, like, I grew up with a girlfriend who, you know, their family, they covered their heads when they went to church and they only wore skirts. Like, they never, so it's interesting. Yeah. Or, like, I mean, obviously the example is always used in terms of the depictions of Mary, or nuns, if we're talking about Catholicism, right? So this idea of covering, and it can be found within the Bible, and certainly there's different groups within Christianity that still do practice it actively. But absolutely, Muslims put a different weight on it in terms of the actual day-to-day and focus on it.
Yeah, definitely, because I feel like it's very, a lot of people who are not Muslim, they kind of, when they think of Muslim, they think of hijab. It's something that's become such a huge sort of symbol. But just behind that, like, why is it good for us to cover up? Like, what kind of feeling have you got? Like, did you cover up before, I guess is the question, before? Or were you, did you dress a bit differently before you were Muslim?
So I certainly dressed differently before I was Muslim.
Yeah.
I put on hijab the day I became Muslim. But then I think, you know, my clothing also then continued to change over the years. Like, I think I slowly became, I'm going to say, more modest in my attire.
Yeah.
But as far as like why do I cover? I think part of it is like, you know, one of the aspects that really appealed to me is I was pretty active in a feminist organization at my university prior to me becoming Muslim. And this idea that women shouldn't be objectified, right? Like that we should be appreciated regardless of our size, regardless of our shape, regardless of what we look like. And honestly, the idea of covering for me is like, okay, like that, they went really hand in hand together, right? Like it's like, okay, my body, my choice. Like I chose to put the hijab on. And it was the same idea, right? It's just like, actually, you don't need to see my body to know that I'm valuable. Right?
Yes, exactly.
And I remember having this conversation with my mom, and my mom being like, well, but like you were like this, you know, super active feminist. And I was like, well, actually, mom, like, just think about this idea.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and so, and I think it's, you know, the idea of hijab, it's so misunderstood, right? This idea that like, okay, well, we cover for shame, or because men tell us to, or whatever, but like, that's not it at all. And like, I cover because it's an act of worship between me and my creator. And it was my choice. And it is something that I believe is pleasing to my Lord, and it's something that I take pride in, and it makes me, like people recognize that I'm Muslim, which doesn't always mean that it's easy, but
yeah,
like it's something that I appreciate, right? And like, alhamdulillah, so that part of it has been really something beautiful.
Yeah, you know, definitely. I think a lot of people associate hijab with oppression.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting because if people think that's oppression, then like, what does that say about how women are viewed in our society, you
sure.
know, if they're viewed in a way that is positive to show things? And like, to me, my kind of like, I think to myself, well, if it's oppression to cover up, then surely it's just as much oppression to show yourself just because you feel like it's the only way to get valued.
Yeah,
it's the only way to get by in life, to have love, to have all these things. And I know, because I felt that feeling. I felt like, sort of slowly over the years as I grew up, I just dropped things here and there, small, you know, shaitan's whispers, they go gradually. And you end up sort of being something that is just unnatural to you. And you end up showing all these things that you just, frankly, you feel uncomfortable going out, but then you're also like, I need those stares, I need that attention. And Islam sort of teaches you to drop that and go, actually, you know, you don't need people to stare at you because you've got something showing. You don't need to show your assets to everyone just to get attention, to feel worthy, and all these kind of things.
Yeah, and it was interesting to me too, like, because I think I know personally, like, I know prior to becoming Muslim, I really struggled with like issues of weight, even eating disorders and these kinds of things. And as you said, like, so much of my value, or how I perceived my value from society was was on how I was viewed, or how much attention I got, or And I think that once I started to cover, and once I started to realize there was more important things, like, and really, and like, because, you know, all those things were invisible, I didn't have to think about it as much. It wasn't like always at the forefront of my mind.
Yeah.
I think my own self-worth really like changed, and it changed my relationship with food. It changed my relationship
Definitely.
With myself. Like, and, you know, it's just interesting to see that aspect. And I wasn't expecting any of that, but
yeah.
Inevitably those things changed because it wasn't my obsession anymore.
Definitely.
You know?
It comes naturally, because actually I was the same. I had a lot of eating disorders. I had so many, I was just constantly dieting, or constantly like just gym. I was just that kind of person.
Yeah.
And I didn't think, oh, I'm going to become Muslim and forget about those diets I've been obsessed with for so long. But you do sort of subconsciously, like, you replace all that time you spent with trying to control your intake of food, trying to control your diet, trying to control what makeup you're wearing, all these things. You kind of replace it with, like, learning, or just being sometimes,
yeah.
You know, just being present.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it is something that does happen, and I think it's such a huge plus, because every sister that I've spoken with that I know, it's kind of been the same experience for them, that they just subconsciously dropped this kind of need to control, like, the way they look, because all of a sudden you've gone from someone who subconsciously everything you do is to try and get approval from randomers in the street who you don't even know, or whether it's family, whether it's friends, whatever it is, and you've just gone, well, I'm just going to get approval from my last spina dweller.
Yeah.
And it's actually a lot easier to get that approval.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you don't have to lose parts of yourself. You can be yourself fully in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and just try and remain away from the bad things which actually self-destructive to us.
Because I'm so conscious in terms of my family or my friends or like other people's perception of Islam or me as a Muslim.
Yeah.
Like I feel like I try to be so mindful about what kind of friend I am, what kind of neighbor I am, what kind of daughter I am, just to make sure that like I am showing what is best, right?
Definitely.
And showing them like the best example.
Mm-hmm.
Like may Allah accept it, and may like maybe I'm like disillusioned enough, but like seriously, like I
at least you're trying.
Yeah, trying, right? And so I think that although, you know, perhaps my behaviors weren't really destructive before, but
yeah,
I certainly feel like I've seen an improvement within myself. Or I hope that, you know, that I'm trying or like striving to be better, for the sake of Islam, you know, for the sake of showing people how the beauty of Islam, you know. So
definitely, I always had this very competitive nature with sort of every single female I ever met, whether it was like to do with looks or just everything. But I think once you become Muslim, there's a certain essence in the ummah where I, from my experience, women have been extremely supportive. People are so open, like, you, mashallah, you just like let me into your house and talk to you. You didn't know who I was, you know. And a lot of sisters are like that. I've had such an incredible experience with the sisters, and so many sisters always messaging me like, how are you doing, how's things. There's just such an amazing sense of community, and I've had so much support from sisters, and there's never this kind of element of anyone trying to like put each other down. Like, I kind of want to use you to step up.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like this really kind of collaborative like approach. And I think we are taught as women subconsciously to kind of always compete with each other all the time, whether it's jobs, whether it's looks, whether it's boyfriends. There's so many things. We're just like competing. But I think Islam sort of teaches us to like not compete with each other, but work with each other, be together. And that's why we're told to go to the masjid, why we're told to go to the mosque, because we're supposed to create an ummah. We're supposed to be strong together, because we're stronger together than apart.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, I think the sense of sisterhood is something really special, something really beautiful.
Yeah.
I also think, I mean, but that's not to say the opposite doesn't exist, right? Like, I think also our community is really dealing with some internalized Islamophobia and, like, some like culture confusion and
yeah,
stuff like that. So I think that, I mean, the opposite does exist. But I think that the, you know, like the practice of sisterhood and like when it's experienced, it is something that's so, so beautiful. And I think if we can mindfully like remain focused on that and that understand that as you said, like we are stronger together. Right. And,
and
I think it's also the understanding, right. Like of like risk, like that, like your income, your, how else would you describe risk? Like, you know, like all that Allah gives, all that Allah provides, like it's from Allah, right?
Yeah.
And what is destined for me, could be different from what is destined from you. But if I get it, it doesn't take away from you,
of
right?
Course, yeah.
And so like this, like once we as Muslims truly understand that like what you have and your benefit, your success doesn't take away from me, then we have nothing but to celebrate each other,
of
right?
Course,
because there's enough for everyone, and I think that like as Muslims, like when we are really truly able to understand that concept, right? That Allah is like, He's the generous, he's al-Kareem, right? And like when he gives, like it doesn't mean it takes away from somebody else, right? There's enough for everyone. And so we really have nothing to be jealous of for
definitely
anybody, right? So yeah, that's something that's super beautiful for sure.
Definitely. I think another thing that's really beautiful about the deen that I think a lot of people need to include in their lives, quite frankly, taught to be equal regardless of race, gender, these kind of things. So what about racism? I know it happens sometimes in the Muslim world, but it's cultural based. It's nothing to do with our deen. Our deen teaches us that no matter what color skin you have, you know, we're judged on piety. We're not judged on race.
I mean, you know, the first masjid that I went to was a Somali masjid.
Okay.
And so that was, and I was one of the few white people there, right? Like, so kind of opposite situation, but I was definitely embraced and welcomed. And then, you know, and then we also attended, there was a masjid that was close by that was largely Pakistani, and, you know, and so I just feel like I've been really welcomed into a very multicultural community. That's not to say that those things, like, obviously, as you said, like, there's racism that still exists, but it's cultural.
Yeah. What about praying then? Because obviously in Christianity, you guys pray, but there's not like a set kind of schedule, right? It's kind of whenever you like feel like it or want something. So how would you sort of compare like your praying before to your praying now?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think, you know, when I was Christian, it was definitely like, yeah, in times of need or times of distress, like I would supplicate. And it, or like, you know, as a child, of course, we learned like before bed or before meals or these kinds of things. The really interesting thing for me actually was when I started to look into Islam, I had this really, really strong sense to learn how to pray as a Muslim before I was Muslim.
Yeah, yeah, I did the same.
So yeah, like I remember like probably for, I'm going to say a month or two before I was actually Muslim, like I remember standing in my room all by myself with a book in my hands, like trying to figure out how to pray Fajr, like the morning prayer. And like, just some like insane urge that like I needed to learn how to pray like this. And so that was really something for me. And I just think like something about the idea of like washing before prayer, purifying yourself before you come to your Lord, right? Or like that the position of humility, right? Like submitting yourself and putting your face to the ground, right? Like I just think there's something quite beautiful in that, you know, and I don't know, maybe that was a motivating factor. And So prayer looked very, very different for me, but it was, even before I became Muslim, I was able, alhamdulillah, may Allah always preserve us and keep us on prayer, but like I was able to understand the importance of it.
Definitely. I was the same. I was praying before I declared my jihad.
And
I think it's an incredible thing because we were actually discussing this earlier, but, you know, the reason why we're told to pray so much is because you can lose it so quickly. You can lose your iman, you can lose your sort of sense of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and like feeling that presence quite quickly if you don't pray constantly. You know, we were told to pray 5 times a day for a reason. We have to, because if we don't, then we're going to lose it so quickly. And I think that's really interesting because when I first heard about 5 times a day, I was like, that's ridiculous. How am I supposed to pray 5 times a day? How does anyone pray 5 times a day? That's crazy. But once you get into the routine, once it becomes habit, you know, habits are easy because they kind of happen naturally.
Yeah.
And I think it's an incredible thing to have in your life because one, it gives you structure, and having that structure in your day, it can help you do so much more. I feel like I've achieved so much more since I put prayers into my day. Gratitude is the key to happiness. And I think it is. It is the key to happiness because even mentions in the Quran that as human beings, we're always going to be chasing something, but the dunya is never going to fulfill us because it's not Jannah. So we're always, always going to be chasing something. Even if you get the thing that you think is going to make you the happiest person in the world, it's going to come and go. It's fleeting. Everything is fleeting in this world. So I think constantly staying grateful for what you've got, it's not just our deen that teaches us that. It's motivational speakers in the West have been teaching people that as well.
When we are thankful to Allah, He gives us more.
Definitely. And even science has come along and said, look, people who are grateful are happier than people who are not grateful.
This is the religion for all people, for all of mankind. And
it's been so nice talking to you.
Thank you. So
I think I like them all. Thank you guys for watching. I'll see you guys again very soon. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah.